Welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason, and with me as usual is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. And we are back with a new episode talking about the 23 worst games of Michael Jordan's career. Yes, we are going to dare to infringe upon the legendary MJ. Rich, how dare
we? Firing up the hot take machine. Get it going. What would a hot take machine be? Is it like a flamethrower or what? A furnace? I don't know.
I would imagine it would have to have some sort of like slingshot component or like you know, like one of those cannons where like they wind back and shoot. What are those called?
Okay. I got you. I don't know. I'm not a very I'm not an aficionado
like
of cannon.
Times, you know, like
yeah, I got you. Yeah, I don't know what those are called, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and it's like a flaming cannonball getting sent. But okay, all right, I could see that.
That's what I imagine. I imagine it involves levers and you know. Twisting things and some and pulling a little bit of muscle and things. I don't know. That's just what I guess. That's how I work. So, you know, honestly, although this does the premise of this does seem to besmirch Michael Jordan, I actually think he comes off pretty well here.
He really does. Yeah. In doing the research for this, I sent you a message on our Google chat. I think it was yesterday afternoon. And I said, I don't know if I can find 23 really bad games. Like, because the games that I'm going to consider, I mean, there are a few that I'm going to say that are worst games, and they're like very good games by any other standard. But, you know, we'll pick out little things that happen, you know, maybe a big loss. He missed a shot at the end, stuff like that happened. But yeah, I mean, by and large, when you really look at his entire career, I mean, there's not a whole lot of really terrible games. Because I kept trying to do, you know, queries of, oh, you know, over 10 turnovers. Okay, he barely did that. Okay, well, you know, he shot, you know, under 20%. Okay, he barely did. Okay. It was just like, it was very hard to find a lot of things that he did that was awful. I mean, scoring under double digits, we'll get to a game here. There was, you know, a streak of three games during his Wizards tenure, and that was like his career high, like having three games in a row under double digits. So it was very hard to find really terrible games. So yeah, if you're coming into this going, oh, these guys are just, you know, unloading on Jordan, we're not doing that. We're just kind of having some fun here. But I think when it's all said and done, you're going to realize, wow, that guy had a very good career. I know that's the biggest hot take here.
Yeah.
This entire show is Michael Jordan, good career.
Yeah, so, pretty good. Not too bad.
So get that cannonball thing. Catapult? It's not a catapult.
Yes, I think it is
catapult. Is that it? Okay, yes. catapult. There we go. Catapult. Yeah, yes. Get the hot take catapult smart. Ready. Because here we go. Yes, thank catapult. You. The you listen to a podcast about history. To be fair, it's basketball history, but we don't even know what a catapult
is. Not a lot of catapults.
We're not medieval history. We're not war history here.
No, we're not hardcore history. We are brought to you today by The Replay with L and Al. Have you ever wondered how your favorite NBA players spend their time off the court? If so, The Replay with L and Al is a perfect podcast for you. They discuss everything from endorsement deals and power couples to fashion choices and social media. Listen in every week and we promise you'll be hipper than Joel Embiid's pregame dance routines. Check out The Replay on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, or check it out at The Step Back. Now let's trash Michael Jordan.
Yes, let's do it. So the criteria here, we're looking at Basketball Reference game score in a lot of ways. We're going to mention game score each of those times. And for you know, a detailed explanation on game score, definitely go to Basketball Reference to kind of get the idea there. But basically, it's just a way to kind of give an individual game a rating. And there's many things that go into it. But again, for the larger explanation, kind of go there to figure that out. But we're also trying to also kind of consider subjective things, you know, how important the game was, you know, how we, you know, if Jordan did particularly awful in a certain aspect of the game, if he had a bunch of turnovers, or he fouled out, or, you know, he barely played any minutes because there was something going on. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to look at stuff like that. But game score is going to be kind of the root of it all. But there will be games, again, where the game score will be kind of high, but something will have happened in the game or something interesting will have occurred, you know, after the game or before the game that's going to make us sort of bring that game up as one of his worst ones. So we'll start off with number one. These aren't in real concise order. I mean, there's somewhat in an order, but yeah, don't get the hot take catapult at us for this order. But for the most part, I try to keep it somewhat in the order that I would kind of consider. But the first one, May 7th, 1995 versus the Orlando Magic. Now this game, Michael Jordan had a game score of 2.6. I scored 19 points on 8 of 20 shooting and at 8 turnovers. And this is famous because this is game one of the 1995 Eastern Conference semifinals. The Bulls lost, and it would basically set the tone for the entire series, which saw the Bulls, of course, lose in six,
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is the 1990s, and you're telling me that the Bulls lost the series?
This is your favorite fun fact ever, is that the Bulls lost the series in the night. I love it. It's so good. But yes,
wait.
Indeed.
Are you sure?
Let me find out. Okay. Let me consult Basketball Reference. Okay. So fake typing. Yes, it is indeed true.
Wow. Huh.
May 7, 1995, Game 1, Eastern Conference Semifinals. And yes, in the 95 Eastern Conference Semifinals, the Bulls lost to the Orlando Magic, and Michael Jordan was on the team. So, very fair.
Okay, all right, cool.
I mean, right. I don't, again, Basketball Reference could be wrong. I don't know. I would consult other, go on Alta Vista or, your search engine of choice and figure out to make sure. But
I'll ask Jeeves.
Yeah, ask Jeeves. Yeah, see what Jeeves has to say about that. See what Hotbot's got going on right now about that. Dogpile? Dogpile's
one,
right?
Yeah, Dogpile. Bing. That's a thing still, right?
Bing is still a thing. Yeah Bing. Unfortunately, sad that we brought up Dogpile and Hotbot and then brought up Bing, which is still an active search engine, but very interesting. But anyway, yes, so this is game one of the 95 Eastern Conference Semifinals. In fairness for this game, you know, as I mentioned, 19.8 to 28 turnovers for Michael. In fairness, Pippen was not much better. He only scored 7 points on 2 of 11 shooting, but he did almost get a triple double. He had 10 rebounds and 7 assists. This game is famous for people that have, you know, maybe checked in with the 30 for 30 on the Orlando Magic. This game is famous because Nick Anderson stole the ball from Michael Jordan in the game's final minutes. Yes, Michael Jordan not clutch in this particular game. I know, again, that's a shocking one. So here's some quotes from the game, kind of the report after the game. I've been personally responsible for a lot of baseball losses. Baseball losses, this is Michael Jordan talking about. But nothing like this. I was expecting a foul. They didn't foul. Nick just reached around and knocked the ball away. The rest is understood. I had the opportunity to win the game. That is Michael Jordan's quote. And this was... I'm from the New York Times, May 7, 1995, report of the game. It was Jordan who played with a throbbing right pinky finger that he injured in the Charlotte series, was limited to 8 of 22 shooting from the field, or 8 of 20 shooting, rather, from the field, and 19 points by Anderson. Often tonight, he was reduced to a jump shooter, falling off of 1 foot while his teammates scrambled for the long rebound with little success. Yeah. So... the famous image of this, though, is the ball being stolen from Jordan in the final minutes. I mean, that's such a rare thing to see, you know, not only the Bulls losing that series, which was a great, you know, sort of representation of how good that Magic team was and you know, Jordan on his comeback trail, but then him getting the ball stolen from him in the game's final minutes and really this game setting the tone for the rest of that series.
Yeah, and, you know, for everyone who's going to mention, well, Jordan just came away from baseball and he'd only played for, like, 15 games and, like, it's not fair to count. Like, If he had led the Bulls to a championship and had won, you would have counted that. So we're gonna go ahead and count the losses.
No, they wouldn't. No, I don't know that they would. Are you kidding? Yeah. They would have said, "No, this is an asterisk season. Yeah. He didn't play the whole year." You know, now we're not gonna count that.
Or if he had just been hurt and had played 18 games in the season and then he had come back, like they would have counted. You know, that would have counted too. So this whole like, oh, he was playing baseball, it shouldn't count. Yeah, forget about that.
Dude, not counting really it. About this.
Not gonna do it.
I love it. Right. Jason, this is the most passion I've ever seen you. I love it. So number two on our list, November 22, 2002 versus the Houston Rockets. Of course, this is Jordan's Wizards. And we should note that we gave extra credence to Bulls Jordan other than Wizards Jordan, because it wouldn't really be fair if we counted Wizards Jordan on the same level, because pretty much this entire countdown would just be, you know, really terrible games with this Wizards tenure, which there were many of, and we did have to include a bunch of them in here. But yeah, we try not to pick on too much of that last year of Jordan. We try to look at more of his Bulls years. So there will be probably games in Washington that were way worse than these Bulls ones, but that's no fun to just kind of pick on those last few years. But this one in particular was too much to kind of forget. Again, November 22nd, 2002 versus the Houston Rockets, 8 points on 4 of 15 shooting and the game score of -1.4, which is not good. You don't want to be in the negative. And this game was important because Jordan's Wizards fell to 6-6 on the season. It was a disappointing record considering the team had kind of reloaded in the offseason. They acquired Jerry Stackhouse and Larry Hughes. What's interesting, though, and people kind of forget this, Jordan came off the bench in the first 15 games of this season. Three games after this, though, he decided, enough of that crap, I'm coming off, I'm starting again. And he'd start every game the rest of the way before retiring from the league at the conclusion of the season. So, yes, Jordan, sixth man of the year contender. That lasted about 15 games before he decided, enough of this shit, I'm coming back in there. So, yeah, not a great game for Michael and the Wizards, and it would be not a great season for them as well. They'd missed the playoffs in both of Jordan's years.
Yeah. So the next game, December 13th, 1986 against the Milwaukee Bucks, he had 11 points on 3 of 17 shooting for a game score of -0.4. The night prior, also against the Bucks, he had scored 41, which is ninth straight game of 40 points and more. So this obviously ended a streak of that. So a quote from the Chicago Tribune from December 13th, 1986, playing the Bucks back-to-back Friday here and Saturday at the stadium would be Jordan's supreme test as a scorer. The Bucks are now just playing perhaps the best team defense in the league. They switch off as well as any team in the NBA and pride themselves on their defensive play. So Unfortunately, Jordan generally had a tough time against the Bucks. Of course, the Bucks being, you know, a stout team at that time, a Bulls rival, you know, still having Sidney Moncrief and, you know, lots of great guards to throw at Jordan. So made it tough, and one of the worst performances of his early career.
Absolutely. Well, another one of his early career, March 22nd, 1986, against the Cavaliers. Jordan had 8 points on 4 of 13 shooting, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds for a game score of negative 0.3. But everything kind of looked up after this for Jordan, because starting the next day, he would go on a streak of 866 games in which he scored double figures. In December of 1998, he broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record of 787 in a row. So he took this, and it was kind of bulletin board material, and he said, you know what, for the next day, nearly 900 games, I'm going to score at least double figures, and he did.
Yeah,
so
pretty good.
Regular season, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, not bad. So again, another interesting fact there. But yeah, just kind of funny that how it kind of leads to, you know, that just an insane streak. And that's a really tough streak for anybody to break. I mean, that you really have to be, you know, got to be healthy. You can't get hurt during the middle, you know, beginning of a game, and you just can't get in foul trouble. And just things have to kind of come together. And we'll talk about a little bit the game that actually broke this streak for Michael.
Yes. So this actually, it was worth mentioning that this is not long after he has come back from the foot injury that that, you know, he had missed most of the season for. Like, there had been a whole lot of hemming and hawing about when he was going to come back, and then when he came back, he was on a minutes limit, and there was a bunch of, and they were in a playoff race actually against the Cavs during the season. Both teams had terrible records, but so Jordan was there was a whole lot of, there was some really bad blood between Jordan and Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf and during this time about the handling of all that, and eventually they kind of got on the same page and the Bulls would make the playoffs, but there was definitely a lot of turmoil. The great podcast In All Airness that covers Jordan's career, among other things, really got into this well in a recent episode, which I recommend everyone who listens to this should check out as well.
Yeah, definitely. The good thing is that Jordan and Jerry Krause always saw eye to eye the rest of their careers,
yes.
And just, you know, leads to today where Michael Jordan, you know, in the front office position of the Bulls and Jerry Krause. October 30th, 2002 versus the Toronto Raptors is again Wizards, Michael. 8 points, 4-14 shooting, 3 rebounds and a game score of 4. So not terrible, but this was the third game in a row dating back to the year prior in which Jordan would not score 10 plus points, breaking his previous career high of 2. So not many times that Jordan didn't find himself in double digit points, but very interesting though. And this October 30th, 2002, you're probably going, oh, this is probably the start of the NBA season. And yes, what a way to start the NBA season for the Wizards and the Raptors. The final score of the game was 74-68. Here's an ESPN recap of the game. Michael Jordan played so poorly, he got laughed at. Morris Peterson scored 20 points, and Jordan went scoreless in the second half and even missed a dunk as the Toronto Raptors opened the season with a 74-68 victory over the Washington Wizards on Wednesday night. Jordan coming off the bench scored just 8 points in 24 minutes after missing 2 free throws with 4 minutes and 6 seconds left. He missed a breakaway dunk as the ball clanged off the back rim. The crowd laughed at Jordan, who turns 40 in February.
Ouch. That's
not great. And that's like a news, like, it wasn't like some guy's column about, you know, the game or whatever. It was like the news filing was all about that, about, you know, everybody laughing at him and him missing dunks. But
sure.
Yeah,
it's like Willie Mays, you know, falling in the outfield territory right there. So
yeah. Oh man.
So the next one, May 18th, 1995, against the Magic, same playoff series that we talked about before. He had 24 points on 8 of 19 shooting, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, so and a game score of 90.9. So actually a very good game score and pretty good box score standings. But the interesting thing here is that, as you mentioned before, and it's worth repeating, a Michael Jordan-led Bulls team lost a playoff series in the 90s. So according to New York Times account, the Magic did it by holding the Bulls scoreless for the last 3 minutes and 24 seconds, overcoming an 8-point deficit and slamming the door on Jordan's comeback from retirement. Nick Anderson forced Jordan to shooting an air ball with the Bulls down by 1 with 104 remaining. Anderson, who grew up in Chicago, also hit the game-winning shot, an 18-footer from the right baseline with 42.8 seconds left to give the Magic a 103-102 lead. So
that Nick Anderson guy, man.
Yeah.
He's got the poise. He's got the poise that you just can't get from anywhere else. One of the all-time clutch players.
Absolutely.
Nick Anderson,
man, if you just
course.
Judge it by the series, you'd think Nick Anderson was the greatest player ever.
He steals from Jordan.
Yeah.
He's shooting over him. He's defending him. I mean, he's forcing Jordan into air balls. I mean, this Nick Anderson guy, I tell you.
I wonder if the 23 best Nick Anderson games would be better than than the worst Michael Jordan.
Well, that's our next. Let's do that.
There you
that's
go.
Our
next episode. We'll do that one in the future.
And this was also interesting for this game. There was a shoe situation for Michael Jordan. After debuting the Air Jordan 11 Concords in Game 1 of the 95 Eastern Conference Semifinals, he switched to the Nike Air Flight 1 in Game 3 to avoid a fine for not matching his teammates' black sneakers. These shoes happen to be the signature sneaker of series opponent and rising star Penny Hardaway, which is the confluence of things happening in this series to just depress Michael Jordan is pretty awesome. I mean, it's for people that, you know, we kind of take some pride in kind of pointing and laughing at Jordan sometimes. This is like the all-time series right here. I mean, he's got to wear Penny's shoes. He gets the ball stolen. He loses. Like, it's everything. And then he went back and, you know, the next year, I think, had a pretty solid season.
He did all right, I guess, maybe. let's kind of get it.
They're not even the all-time best regular season team anymore. So I don't know why we hold them in so high regard.
True.
72 wins. Yeah. Cool. The Warriors won 73 last year. That was just last year. So I don't know why we give them so much and why I have a t-shirt in my house. It's a 72-10. Like, I don't get the big deal. So whatever.
December 27, 2001, against the Pacers, 6 points on 2 of 10 shooting, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a game score of -0.02. Quote from the Tribune: Michael Jordan has never played this poorly in his NBA career, and said that he played only 25 minutes and failed to make a field goal in the second half. The Wizards lost by almost 30 in that game. And this was the breaking of the streak of consecutive games with double digits, ending the 866 in a row. So a good Christmas present for all the Michael Jordan haters out there.
Absolutely. April 2nd, 2002 versus the Lakers. 2 points. 2 points. 1 of 5 shooting. 3 rebounds. 3 assists. A game score of 1.5 for Jordan. The AP box of this says, the box score will show that Michael Jordan scored a career-low 2 points in a career-low 12 minutes. And that's not the worst of it. Jordan also had a career-low 0 impact in the game in which he played. I don't know the measure of that, but okay. AP box. That's fine. He was an inconsequential reserve on the losing side of a rout as the Los Angeles Lakers overwhelmed his Washington Wizards 113-93 Tuesday night. So here's a quote from Jordan in that AP article. In terms of my minutes or my points, I'm not worried about that. I'm not chasing anything. I'm not chasing any stats. Yes, it's a career low in minutes. It didn't make a difference. So this has nothing to do with anything, but I found it in the AP box and I had to say it because it was a game note there. Juan Dixon and Lonnie Baxter, who led Maryland to the NCAA championship in Atlanta the previous night, attended the game and received a huge standing ovation in the first quarter. Shaquille O'Neal was not impressed, however. Asked if Dixon had the talent to play in the NBA, O'Neal had no idea who Dixon was and said, "I don't watch basketball. I'm not a fan of basketball."
There you go.
I couldn't not put that in. I mean, what other situation do we have ever to put that in? And yeah, so that's pretty incredible. And Shaq was kind of right, because Juan Dixon did not have the chops to play long in the NBA. But Lonnie Baxter, though, had a fantastic multiple-decade career.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely.
That's still going on today, I believe.
Anyway, May 11th, 1989, against the New York Knicks, 15 points on 7 of 17 shooting, 8 rebounds, game score of 8.4. So a good performance on the surface. However, this was the Bulls lost this game 2 of the 1989 Eastern Conference semifinals. They were able to actually win the series before bowing out to the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals, and this was 6 days after the shot over Cavs guard Greg Gila. So what was your reasoning behind picking this game, Rich?
I just thought just losing in a playoff series, not necessarily, shooting. I mean, 15 points isn't bad, but 7 to 17, not great.
Not good shooting.
Basically, I just thought it was interesting that, again, it was a loss. They were able to kind of recover in that series, but then I just thought the juxtaposition of coming, a few days after one of his, most cherished moments, the shot over Craig Elo, I thought was just interesting enough to put in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean,
Again, it's not bad. We're kind of getting to this point now. We're at like 9, and it's gonna be a lot of these are not gonna be like, he's good. Michael Jordan is good, so he didn't have a whole lot of really terrible games. That the first 8 were like bona fide terrible games. There's not gonna be a whole lot of these like truly awful games coming up. So
it's a fair point.
January 30th, 1998 versus the Golden State Warriors, 14 points, 2 of 17 shooting, and 8 rebounds for Jordan. This is a game score of 9.9, and this was the second lowest single game field goal percentage of Jordan's career and the worst of his Bulls career. He did shoot 10 of 11 from the free throw line, though, which probably contributed to his game score being pretty high and still getting 14 points, even though he shot 2 of 17. So the stout 1998 Warriors defense wreaking havoc on Michael Jordan.
Yeah. So. I'm sure Antoine Jameson had a lot to do with it. That might have been before he was in the league. That might have been the year before he joined.
Yeah, who was on the 1998 Golden State Warriors? I don't know if I even – what? That's like a weird transition period of that team.
So next, April 11, 1998, against the Magic – So on the surface, 37 points, 15 and 25, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, game score of 29.3, which is good. So, but Jordan had his worst ever game from the free throw line with the career-worst 4 of 10 from the stripe. So, interesting little footnote there. Do you recall seeing any reason for the they gave? Was that even pointed out in any of the accounts?
Not really. No. I was trying to find stories. I was trying to find something on it. And it was just like, I don't know. He just had a bad game at the free throw line. Nobody really. And like, again, like, you know, 4-10 isn't really like horribly, you know, awful or whatever. But yeah, he just had, I don't know, just a bad game. Right. Maybe a rough night or I don't know. But then he scored fine from the field. So I don't know. Basketball,
maybe,
man.
Maybe it's too late of a night playing poker and,
it's at Universal Studios.
You know, yeah, there you go.
January 29, 2003 versus the Nets, 8 points, 4 of 16 shooting, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a game score of negative 0.4. Here's kind of the AP recap of the game. Washington came back with a 10-2 run to close to 78-73, but Larry Hughes took a bad shot, and Michael Jordan traveled on the Wizards' next two possessions, two travels in a row on possessions. And this is a quote from Nets coach Byron Scott. It's unusual to see number 23 make mistakes at the end of the game, but he's human just like everybody else.
There you go. Byron Scott, words of wisdom. Maybe he should have thought about that when he let Kobe reign free for an entire season. But, you know, I guess he scored 60 in the end. So anyway, January 19th, 2002, against the Bulls, 16 points on 7 of 21 shooting, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, but a career high, 9 turnovers for a game score of only 1.7. Which is actually ultimately won the game. Of course, the Bulls were terrible at this point. And Jordan's quote, I have too many memories. It's important for me not to come back and try to live up to that situation because that's tough. I may have a good game maybe the next time I come here, but to try to compare the two eras, the two situations, it's very, very tough.
And again, the final score of this game, 77-69. So yes. I don't know if people realize how awful Eastern Conference basketball was, particularly in 2002 to 2003. It was hideous. It was awful, awful games.
It was not great.
Nothing is fun about a 77-69 game.
The jerseys were much bigger than the game scores generally would be.
They were. That's one of the things, like, because Hardwood Classics all throughout the summer they'll play, and I'm going back and watching like early 2000s games, and I'm just stunned that these guys are playing in like trash bags. It's like I forget that, like, and I remember, like, I used to love baggy shirt. Like, what were we thinking in the early why were we wearing baggy stuff? Was it just me and the NBAers?
I'm going to go ahead and blame NSYNC for it. I don't know why, but that's
okay. That seems fair enough. Yeah. Were you wearing like your throwback? Cause throwback, like gigantic, like triple XL long throwback jerseys were all the rage.
I did have a couple of jerseys, but I don't think I had any throwbacks and I didn't wear them giant and backwards. I'm the least hit person that exists in the world. So,
You had the did you have the band-aid on your eye as well, like Nelly style?
Yes, of course I had the band-aid in my eye.
Of course you went to, I mean,
it was more for Lisa Left Eye Lopez, but yeah, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're always in mourning. So sure. December 15th, 1984 versus the Sixers, 14 points, 7 of 16 shooting, game score of 7.2. This game has no real purpose except for that I found this little fun antidote that from Pat Williams' Tales of the 82-83 76ers, the book, Harold Katz, the former owner of the 76ers, offered Julius Erving to Chicago in exchange for the number 3 pick in the draft. Of course, this is 1984, so this is Jordan's debut season. And this is a quote from Harold Katz. I thought I had a deal with Jonathan Culver of the then owner of the Chicago Bulls. This, of course, was fresh off the 76ers championship, so the Sixers wouldn't get the deal done, obviously, so they settled with their fifth overall pick in that draft, some guy named Charles Barkley. So super interesting. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but yeah, that would have been a very odd trade to, you know, win a championship and then trade Julius Erving and get that number 3 overall pick, but very interesting, though.
That certainly would have been brazen. Yeah, the of course, that was after 84 season when they disappointed and they lost in the first round. So it wouldn't have quite have been as weird, you know, since if they had actually come off the championship season, but still would have been out. There also was a deal that I've read about with Seattle with trading the Bulls getting Jack Sikma for Jordan, but the Bulls nixed that one because they weren't getting a center back. So, which is, of course, you know, hilarious in retrospect.
Jeez, but. Yeah, that's this, and which is funny because you bring that up because everybody's always, oh, how do you take Sam Bowie with the number 2 overall pick? Centers were important, yeah, and that's why the Blazers made chose Sam Bowie.
Yes.
In retrospect, it seems silly, but right. At the time, it very justified.
It's either from this game or from the season, but there's a good highlight of Irving blocking Jordan and making him look silly, which I enjoy to watch every once in a while. So,
and then said some like dad wisdom, I'm sure, afterwards. Well, yeah. This is prime dad Julius Irving, too.
He's,
so I'm sure he's
very dad.
He sat him down afterwards and said, yeah, that's how we play the game, kid. Yes, all right.
Exactly.
All right. March 4th, 2003 versus the Toronto Raptors. 4 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 3 rebounds, 2 assists for a game score of 0.6. It was kind of interesting. Michael really did not like facing the Raptors in his career. Not only did the Raptors beat the Bulls during their 72-10 season, but Jordan did not perform well against them. Jordan's overall career average against all teams, you know, 30.1 points per game, 49.7 field goal percentage from the field. His averages against the Raptors, though, 21.5 points per game and 43.9 for field goal. So he was definitely way worse against them. You know, of course, he played more games against the Raptors in, you know, the last part of his career, you know, those last Wizards years. But even when he was with the Bulls, I mean, he had a few really big games against them, but he had a few really bad games against them, too. So I don't know what it was about the Raptors, and it didn't matter home or away. He just, I don't know, maybe he didn't like the purple jerseys. Maybe he was scared of dinosaurs. I don't know. Maybe Jurassic Park had him a little spooked or something. I don't know what it was, but he was just not all that great against the Toronto Raptors for whatever reason. So the
scared of dinosaurs is going to go ahead and be my guess.
Or Damon Stoddard. A fear of Damon Stoddard.
Yeah, maybe. Very possible, yeah. He's a bit of a scary man.
Right. Mighty Mouse, but like, he packed a lot in that little figure. So April 1st, 1995 versus the Philadelphia 76ers, 12 points, 5 of 18 from the field, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a game score of 3.9. The Bulls won, but only by 7 points, which is not good because the Sixers will go on to lose 64 games this season. And this Sixers team, led by Jerry Stackhouse, Clarence Weatherspoon, and Vernon Maxwell, would radically alter their team. Just a few weeks later, head coach John Lucas would be let go, Vernon Maxwell was released, and of course, they would draft a little undersized guard by the name of Allen Iverson, which leads directly into our next game, March 13th, 1997, against the Philadelphia 76ers. 23 points, 9 of 14 from the field, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a game score of 10.9. Iverson dropped a then career high 37 points that night, but the most important part of the game is the infamous crossover on Michael Jordan. So here's a little bit of a recap, or at least a quote from Allen Iverson after the game. Said, "I was going to put my move to the test to see if it was real. It had to be real if it worked against the greatest player to ever play the game. That made me feel real good."
And then the next day, March 14th, 1997, against the Nets, Jordan had 36 points on 16 of 34 shooting, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, game score 23.8, so good numbers. But Jordan airballed a shot late in the fourth quarter when the Bulls had a chance to tie. Xavier McDaniel hit 4 free throws in the final 16 seconds as the Nets beat the Bulls.
X-Man.
X-Man finally getting some revenge on Jordan for the for the Knicks series tonight,
too. Yes. I love all these guys coming back and getting their revenge like a decade. take that.
I had no idea that Xavier McDaniel actually played for the Nets.
I have no recollection either.
It was the first win for the Nets over a Jordan-led Bulls team since 91, a stretch of 16 games. Quote from Xavier, "He's human, you know. You don't expect that from Black Jesus, but sometimes it happens." And April 7th, 1996, against the Magic, 27 points on 10 of 30 shooting, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, a game score of 12.12. Odd game as John Konkak started, with Shaq coming off the bench for only the second time in his career. It was for sad reasons, though. Shaq had been in New Jersey following the death of his grandmother. He showed up to the game immediately after the funeral on Saturday night. Konkak only played 12 minutes, took just one shot, which he missed. Shaq had 21 points and 9 rebounds in 33 minutes off of the bench. So, but yeah, 10 of 30 shooting.
I mean, 27 points, so not bad. Yeah. But yeah, 10 of 30, that's putting up a lot. So
not quite 50, but it's
no, up yeah, there, yeah. Jeez. I forget that happened. It seems like so long ago that happened, but it definitely did. All right. May of 14. 1992 versus the Knicks, 21 points, 9 of 25 shooting, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a game score of 6.8. This is game 6 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals in 1992. Jordan struggles, and despite a sprained ankle, Patrick Ewing leads the Knicks to a 186 victory to force a game 7. This was the first of two game 7s that the Bulls had faced in the 6th season they won a championship. The other was the Pacers in the 1998 Eastern Conference Finals. This particular series became intense with several players, particularly Michael Jordan, the X-Man, again, the aforementioned X-Man, Xavier McDaniel, Scottie Pippen, and Greg Anthony getting into various arguments, fights. This was a big brawly season. I think David Stern, after this series, kind of came out and was like, all right, we got to chill on these fights. This is way too much. I believe, is this the year that, it was JoJo White and who was the Nick guy that they were brawling in the crowd and like Stern's like a row in front of them. And it's just like, oh God, like this is not good. I forgot who it was, but I think that happened either this year or the next year. But the Bulls would eventually win this series and then have a date with Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, which they would of course win and then go on to win the championship against the Portland Trailblazers in 1992. So we go to May 11th, 1989 versus the New York Knicks, 15 points on 7 of 17 shooting rather, 8 rebounds, a game score of 8.4. This is the Rick Pitino led Knicks. I did not remember this at all.
Yeah, he actually they were one of the first big 3-point shooting teams.
Yeah, go Rick Pitino.
They did a lot of pressing too. They were an interesting team actually.
Yeah, it's. I always remember that Rick Pitino, you know, of course the Boston Celtics tenure, but I always forget that he had this one. He was an assistant under, I believe, Hubie Brown for quite a few years after this too. So he had success in college. You know, came here. You know, went back to college ranks, has success there, went back to Boston, and then of course now has decided, you know what, I think I'm good on this NBA thing for a while. But yeah, this Rick Pitino led Knicks squad here. The Knicks defeated the Bulls to tie the series at 1-1. The Bulls would go on to win 3 of the next 4 to make the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons, which did not do very well for them in 1989. But not really a particularly bad game, but again, we're at 21, so we're really stretching here for bad Michael Jordan games. So move on. June 6th, 1997. We only have a few more here. June 6th, 1997 versus the Jazz. 26 points, 9 of 22, 4 of 10 from 3 points, and 3 rebounds for a game score of 19.9, so not a bad game at all. This is game 3 of the 1997 NBA Finals. Utah fans welcome their proud, this is a game quote, or a quote from the game report. The Utah fans welcome their proud Western Conference champs with force. During the introductions of the Jazz starting lineups, the Bulls players plugged their ears due to the loud cheers and fireworks within the Delta Center. The Chicago Bulls started off the first three quarters with mediocre play, despite Scottie Pippen tying a then finals record with 7 3-pointers. Which is interesting. Jordan and Pippen combined for 21 3-pointers in this game, which they did not do that often. Launched from 3. Utah, on the other hand, they as a team shot 14 3-pointers.
Different time.
A very different NBA that we're, just a completely different NBA that we're living in here. I believe John Stockton had 0 3-point attempts this entire game. Utah led by Karl Malone scored, he scored 37 points and had 10 rebounds. Chicago attempted a fourth quarter comeback, cutting a 24-point deficit down to 7, but Utah ultimately won its first game of the series. Of course, the Bulls would go on to win the NBA Finals, though, and, you know, of course, get in a rematch with the Utah Jazz the next year, which they would again win in Jordan's final game with the Chicago Bulls. So last but not least, December 25th, 1991, I had to get a Christmas Day game in here, and unfortunately he's very good on Christmas Day games, but I did find this one. Not perfect, Michael. We got you here against the Celtics. 14 points, 6 of 14, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. It was a game score of 14.2, so not bad. This was Jordan's second ever Christmas Day game. The first had come in 1986 versus the Knicks, but I would say the first of kind of that 90s era where they really established the Christmas Day game as this like must-see team with the best team. You know, this is what I would consider the real era of the Christmas Day games, but we did an episode a few years back kind of recapping a lot of those Christmas Day games, so definitely go and check that out if you want to see. But 6 players scored in double figures for the Bulls, who forced the Celtics into 17 turnovers for the victory. Larry Bird, this would be his final Christmas Day game. He's limited to only 8 points and 8 rebounds. And given that Jordan's histrionics on Christmas Day, this is a definite disappointment from an individual standpoint, but it didn't really matter because the Bulls won 121-99. So not a bad thing for him, but there's our 23 worst games that we found of Michael Jordan.
So I looked at a slightly different set of game scores than you did. I went from the game scores that were below 10 from 1987 through 98. So, you know, roughly the best part of his career with the Bulls. So I took his totals from the 23 games that were the worst and just to see which NBA player's career it would be the most like. And there's not really a great parallel because the shooting percentage is so bad that there aren't a lot of players who scored at that level but had a shooting percentage that bad even in the 50s. So the averages are – 15.5 points per game on 17.2 shots for 35.1%. Assists 4.4, rebounds 5.6, steals 1.3, blocks 0.5, and turnovers 3.5. So the most comparable players when it comes to all those categories, there are three that are pretty close. There is Bob Cousy, of course, who was notoriously a bad field goal shooter even during his time. He only shot 37% for his career, 18.4 points, 5.2 rebounds, 7.5 assists. Of course, the shooting percentage the average is much lower then, but even by those standards, he was still pretty low. Gene Chu, who played from 55 to 64, he had 14.4 points, 39%, 4.1 rebounds, 3.7 assists. But the guy who I think actually fits best is a current player, Brandon Jennings, 15.5 points, 39%, 3.1 rebounds, 5.9 assists. So the rebounds are very low, and the assists are a little bit up, but everything else is pretty close. I mean, it's 39% shooting to 35%. So it's
yeah, and the point per game is exactly the same as well, right, which is interesting. And you know, in your head, when you really think of it too, that Brandon Jennings one kind of it works. You know what I mean? Like, because I could see like the worst of Michael Jordan being Brandon Jennings, right? Like, you can almost kind of just visualize that, because that's kind of the player that he is just like this unabashed gunner that like doesn't just quite go in like he wants it to, but he's still going to kind of shoot it. Because like you said, it's kind of hard to do like a Bob Cousy or a Gene Shue or a lot of the other guys from your Curry were guys from the 50s and 60s or whatever, where it's a completely different game. But for a modern player to be near that it's pretty telling. And when we're talking about that, like, you know, the 10 worst games or a sampling of the worst games, the game scores below 10 for Michael Jordan. That's the worst of the worst. And Brandon Jennings, I don't know. That's just an interesting kind of fall there.
Brandon Jennings is totally a fine player. So the fact that Jordan's 23 worst games by this measure are about as good as Brandon Jennings, that says something. That says,
His
worst game, like said, bad. Yeah.
We said a little bit earlier that Michael Jordan had a pretty good career. So yeah, even if you are the worst of Michael Jordan, that's not bad. Like, you're still okay. Yeah. So that's not bad.
Michael Jordan, not terrible. I think that's conclusion we
take away we're gonna do here.
Yeah
okay, all right, that's fair. I'm gonna write that down, remember it. I'm gonna do a column about that as well.
All right, fair enough.
Probably have that one step back as well, so
sounds good. So speaking of the step back, we are now, that is our new home. We are at the step back at Fansided's new NBA vertical, which we're excited about. Some great stuff happening over the last couple weeks as the season is beginning, and we've been posting some new stuff. Hopefully you are enjoying it. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA, and we would greatly appreciate it if wherever you listen to us, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else you listen to your podcast, if you could go in there, leave us a nice rating. Even better, if you have an extra second, leave us a review. You can just write just one sentence like, hey, you guys are great. That's all you need to do. And we would greatly appreciate it. That helps people. It moves us up a little bit in those rankings and lets people know we exist and that people like us. And it makes us feel good, too, which I think is...
Yeah, really, that's the most important part, is it makes us feel better. I mean, I rest at night knowing that a select few people in this world enjoy what we do. So
yes, indeed. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back again soon.